Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all this morning. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, the sun is shining, the birds are singing, and the sky is blue, and God is good, and we're singing about joy. And isn't it true? Lots to be thankful for this morning. And I just praise the Lord for all that He does for us, and He is good. Those old Sunday school songs. I remember singing them when I was a kid and thinking to myself as I grew older that they were silly little songs. But as I grew older again and matured, I recognized how precious and valuable they are. You ever hear, you know, these days they don't teach cursive writing anymore. Maybe that's not true. I think that's the case. And I think to myself, man, that's too bad. I have a lot of notes that are in cursive writing that, you know, my grandchildren, I want them to be able to read someday. And also analog clocks. Right? Everything's digital. So you have to remember that when you ask somebody what time it is, and they'll look at your watch and say, oh, I can't read that. So it's interesting what we lose sometimes over the years. It's not always better. But think about these old Sunday school hymns, songs that we sing, children's songs. Deep and wide. You know, we remember these onward Christians. I'm in the Lord's army. I guess that was the one I was thinking about. And the B-I-B-L-E, obedience is. This little light of mine, there's oil in my lamp. There's all kinds of them. And we remember them, and we take them with us the rest of our lives, and we sing them to our children and our grandchildren. I'm so thankful that we get them out, we make sure they're not dusty, and we sing them. And the children love it, but I think adults, do you appreciate those old hymns? I know I do, and those choruses. So anyway, seems like such a small thing, but I think it adds an awful lot, and I thank the Lord for it. It's good to be with you this morning. We're talking about gifts. And we'll be here for a few weeks just discussing spiritual gifts, the gifts that God gives to us, and we as Christians learning how to use our gifts, identify our gifts, and then re-gifting our gifts. We don't repurpose them. They're perfect in what they are. Sometimes when we get a gift, we repurpose it for something else. As Christians, that's a mistake. I don't want to repurpose the gift God gave me for my own reasons. That wasn't the intended purpose for the gift. So as Christians, we re-gift our gifts, but we don't repurpose them. So these are just some of the things that we're going to be thinking about or talking about. And we'll get into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to turn there this morning, and talk a little bit more about gifts, why we have gifts, what are they for, what purposes do they accomplish. And then eventually, Lord willing, next week likely, we'll get into the specific gifts of the Bible, because that's really where we like to be. What does the Bible say about gifts? What gifts are we talking about? Some of you have very obvious gifts. I can identify them. And sometimes we have gifts that we don't know about, and other people will share things with us. So gifts are an important thing. We sometimes have the wrong idea about gifts. And the Bible has a very specific idea about these spiritual gifts. And, you know, the devil likes to give us gifts. Gifts that will lead us away from God. Gifts that glitter. He himself is referred to as the angel of light. That he will transform himself into an angel of light. And that seems very appealing and holy and wonderful. Except that it's the devil. And he sometimes presents himself in a way that looks good. Demons dressed in gold. You know, sometimes people have the gift of complaint, the gift of bitterness, the gift of anger. And we know that these really aren't gifts at all. They're curses. But if the devil was to give a gift, that's what they would be like. And yet God has given us other gifts to counteract those gifts, to defeat those vile curses or gifts that we sometimes default to. And he wants us to use his gifts to bring light and to bring the name of Christ to those around us. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and talk a little bit more about gifts. I'll start with a question here in a second. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. What a gift it is just to be able to gather in your house this morning. And Lord, like the songs that we were just singing, it's no small thing, Father. It really isn't. And we just pray that even today as we meet together that we would be in awe, that we would be it would be obvious to us, it would be evident to us that you're with us, that you're pleased with our worship, that we would be mindful, that you know our thoughts, that we would be willing to confess, willing to draw near you, to seek you out prayerfully, to share our gifts as they are, as we can here in the midst of one another. Just bless this day and all that we do. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the gifts that you give to us. And we ask, Father, that you would just continue to teach us as we look through these. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So just in summary, before we read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let me just ask a couple of questions just to get us thinking about spiritual gifts. And these questions we're going to look at, why does God give us gifts? That's the first question. Second one is, how do we identify our gifts? Third is, what are those gifts? And fourth is, how do we get the most out of our gifts? And the gifts are kind of like the spiritual weapons or the spiritual defensive or offensive weapons that we were talking about a little while ago. They're supernatural. They're not physical. We can't order them at Amazon or go to Walmart and pick them up off the shelf. They're gifts that God gives to us, which makes them supernatural, which makes them better. Does that make sense? That makes them better than whatever you can get at Walmart. I can buy something to protect myself that a man made and buy it in a store, or I can receive something free that God designed for me specifically to use, spiritually speaking, to defend myself from the worst of the enemies around me. And so, likewise with our gifts, they're spiritual gifts. As a matter of fact, I don't know where it is. I might remember as we go through this, but as I was studying, the word gifts, I think it's in maybe in Corinthians, but the word gifts is in italics in the King James here, and that tells me the word was added to give explanation, but the word spiritual gifts is used. So he referred to these gifts as spirituals, and that's what they are. They're spiritual gifts that we use, and I'll give you just one very simple example of what one of these gifts are, and it's the gift of faith. Having an unprecedented measure of faith. Have you ever known anybody that has so much faith that just amazes you? The kind of faith that you think, wow, you know, they have that peace, that faith, they're so strong in their faith. Well, that's a gift. For those that have this unprecedented amount of faith, George Mueller, for example, that man had faith. If you ever read his autobiography, in just every day, he started his day by asking God for the things that he needed that day. And most of us would be like, you should have thought of that a week ago. But he had no choice. Nothing to feed the orphans? Well, we'll talk to God about it. And he would talk to God about it, and a truck would break down out front full of bread. And we need to give this bread to somebody or it's going to go bad. Or whatever the case might be, someone would drop off some money. Or there would be some supernatural meeting of the need. And George Mueller had the gift of faith, so much so that it really irritated his staff. Because they would come in frustrated and anxious. We got 50 kids sitting around the table, George, and we got nothing to feed them. You can pray all you want to, but what are we going to do with the kids? Close the door, Elizabeth. Just leave me be. She would close the door, and 30 seconds later, there was a knock, and he would, oh, yes, Elizabeth. George, I'm sorry, there's someone here. It's the man from the bakery delivering some bread. The wagon's broken down. He wants to know if we want it. And it's that gift of faith, and it was supernatural. And so there's these gifts that God gives to each of us. And I believe that they're specific to who we are, created in the image of God, what our skills are, what God wants to prove in us. And so each of us have gifts. And so right off the bat, that's what I want us to know this morning. Christian, God has given you spiritual gifts. The world can't get them. The devil can't give them to the world. The only way that you can receive the spiritual gifts is first to receive the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And then you have access to spiritual gifts. And I just mentioned one of them, the gift of faith. And the world might say, well, who cares? Give me $1 billion over that any day. Oh, really? We understand the difference between a man who sits at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, now, Lord, I have a need. Would you meet it? And then the Lord does. Wow. Give me that all day long. Except for these individuals that think it's better that I can meet my own needs. I don't want you, God. No, I want God. You involve yourself in my life. Let me watch you be God and meet my needs so that I can worship you and love you more. And take the $1 million somewhere else. Now, that's hard for the flesh to do. But as we grow and mature in our faith and we see the value of the gifts, same as the weapons of our warfare, when we grow in our understanding, we recognize the value of the spiritual is much, much better than what we think in regards to the value of the material. And so we thank God for the power from on high. We thank God that we are seated in the heavenlies, that we have spiritual gifts. And I want to ask the question here, what's the difference? Because sometimes we get these a little mixed up. But what's the difference this morning between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit? Those are two different things. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely. The fruit has more to do with developing a Christ-like character. Well said. So there is a difference, but it's just one other category of what God gives to us and produces in us. He gives us these weapons of our warfare, spiritual weaponry, the armor of God, the armor of light, the armor of righteousness. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit, meekness, patience, gentleness, goodness, kindness. He gives us the gifts that we can use in supernatural ways according to His will, the gifts of the Spirit in regards to faith and exhortation and teaching and prophecy and all those things. And it's amazing to know that. We have so many things that God gives to us as Christians that we can enjoy. I want to read a quote in regards to the gifts and the fruit and the difference. I'm not sure who said this, but I'm going to read it. It wasn't me. It says, gifts of the Spirit are supernatural abilities given by God for service and building the church. 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to read that in a minute. While fruits of the Spirit are the development of Christ-like character, as Keith said, in a believer. Gifts are bestowed according to God's will, whereas fruit is produced over time through submission to the Spirit. So the gifts can be unique. You might have the gift of hospitality. Maybe I'm too antisocial. I have a hard time with that, or, you know, too inverted. When it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, we all are to and can develop all of the fruit. There's not some of the fruit of the Spirit that you can develop that I can't. When it comes to, let's say, the fruit of patience or long-suffering, God wants all of us to develop that fruit. As we rely on the vine, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And through Him, through His sustenance, He develops in us the branch fruit that we enjoy, that the world enjoys, others enjoy, the church enjoys, and that brings glory to the husbandman. Gifts are different than the fruit, but both are equally as important. Maybe we'll take a look at the fruit of the Spirit at some point as well. But in regards to this question, it's important that we know that there is a difference. We don't put them together. They're separate. That way we can enjoy them in separate ways. We can have both the gifts of the Spirit and we can enjoy the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of gentleness while we use the gift of hospitality work together. And so that's the reason why it's good to categorize these lists and to recognize them individually. As a soldier of Christ, I'm equipped to fight against the enemy. I'm also able to share the gospel with the gifts that God has given to me. And I can sweeten the sharing of the gospel with the fruit of the Spirit that I utilize as I use my gifts in the midst of the battle that I'm in. So all these things together work according to God's will. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 here. Before we read, where do we get our gifts? Do we sort of create them ourselves? Are we born with them? Does God give them to us? That's a good way to put it. We're born again with them, so they come from God. You could say we're born the first time. Some of us have specific genetic skill sets or characteristics. And when we're born again, we also have those characteristics of our Savior and of our Father. We become more like Him. And so those are true statements. In regards to where our gifts come from, Paul wants us not to be ignorant about that. Let's look at verse 1, chapter 12. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts. Here it is again. If you see the word in italics, that word was added by the translators to give us a clear understanding. So it's to say the same thing concerning spiritual or our spirituals, but gifts. Concerning our spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant or in the dark about your gifts. Because this would be new for a lot of the Corinthian church. They would be saying, well, what do you mean we have gifts? Yes, yeah, supernatural abilities from God. Now, how cool is that? You tell me, like, who doesn't want to teach children about supernatural powers from God? And when they have a proper understanding of what those are, not foolish, you know, charismatic understanding, but a true biblical understanding, it's amazing. And so that's what Paul is saying. I don't want you to be ignorant. You need to know about your gifts. Because it's your gifts, church body, that God is going to use to be that to be the lure, the light that attracts the world to it. And that brings glory to His name, and that builds the church and edifies the church, all of that. So He wants us to know about our gifts. God wants us to know about our spiritual gifts. And so through Paul, we have this enlightenment, this teaching. You and I have spiritual gifts. He goes on to say, ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. In other words, you know, Christians, that as Gentiles, in your culture, before you were saved, you were carried away with all kinds of dumb or idols that don't really live or exist. You believed in luck. You believed in superstition. You worshipped, you know, you wished upon a star. But now you know the truth. There's much more to it than that. There is salvation. There is Christ. There is God. There is rhyme and reason and His will. And so now that you know the truth, you're not being carried away by these little silly things. So you want to make sure that you understand what the gifts of God are. Verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. In other words, gifts should glorify and promote a true Jesus, not a false Jesus. So this is an interesting statement by Paul. And what he's saying is if you truly have gifts of God, they will promote the true Jesus. And what was happening is there were those that were claiming to have gifts, but were promoting a Jesus that was different than the Jesus that the disciples knew and the apostles taught about. And Paul's simply saying, you can't do both at the same time. If you have the gifts of the Spirit, then you are going to speak truth. One of the reasons some of the theologians I read thought this might be the reason why Paul's saying this is because there were those that were speaking in an unknown tongue, assuming it was the gift of God, but they were worshiping false idols, and what they were doing was actually cursing Jesus and cursing the truth in these unknown tongues, but they didn't know it because they couldn't understand what they were saying. And so he was saying, look, you don't be ignorant about what you're doing. You need to understand your gifts so you're not led astray, not deceived like you were when you were following these false gods and false idols. Now, I'm doing a lot of yakking. Does anybody have any thoughts or comments or questions so far in regards to any of these things? Yeah, Carly. So he's speaking to the Corinthian church, so a group of believers, and he's writing this in a letter. He's recalling his experience. So we're in Acts right now in the morning service. He spent some time in Corinth. And so he's taught them. He's been there a few times. And now he's writing to them about some of the things that they need help with, things that they're concerned about. Yeah, great question. Anybody else? Any other questions or thoughts or comments? That's right. Amen. And that's the reason why Paul says what he says in verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand, you got to know what you're doing. Don't be ignorant about your gifts, No man who speaks by the Spirit calls Jesus accursed. Tells me that that's what was going on in some cases. Like, so no, you're wrong. You don't have the gift of God. This is not the gift of God, or speaking in the gift of tongues. And so, to Keith's point, and Keith has been involved in Native work, so I say that to sort of connect the dots. Sometimes we see things throughout life that introduces us to the fallacies of some of these things. Or the gift of speaking in tongues, for example, is one that has been misused continuously. Even in Paul's day, it was misused. And this is, again, a reference to that. And it's still being misused today. And it's funny how that's the one. Well, it's not the only one. I shouldn't say that's the one. But it's certainly one of the big ones that's misused. And what a lot of people don't know is it's not just the Christian faith that claims the gift of speaking in tongues. Anybody know? Do we know that? There are probably several dozen of different religions in the world today. Several dozen. And different branches of even the Catholic faith has a branch of that faith that believes in speaking in tongues. But most of the religions are affiliated with occultism, like voodoo. Speaking in tongues, different tongues, is very prominent in the voodoo religions. Very prominent. As a matter of fact, I read a testimony of a girl who came out of Haiti. She grew up in the voodoo religion. She came to America, and the first churches that she went to were Pentecostal churches, and she gravitated to them because they spoke in tongues. And it was very familiar to her that a lot of the excitement that sometimes come with that, and dancing on the pulpits and running around the church and all kinds of things. And I don't mean to make fun. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. So now we have a supposed gift of the Spirit contradicting a fruit of the Spirit. Wait a second. How can the fruit of the Spirit, which is speaking in tongues, being filled with the Spirit, how can it contradict self-control? When you see people foaming at the mouth and rolling around, there's skirts and blouses going all over the place. So it's just sometimes we can be led astray. And speaking in tongues is one of those things that Paul specifically dealt with because there were so many people misusing this gift. And even today, matter of fact, you don't even have to argue that the gift of tongues has ceased. You just have to biblically reveal how we were supposed to do it. No more than three. Women were to be silent. They weren't supposed to teach and say those sorts of things. And there was always to be an interpreter. Now, if you've broken one of those rules, you're not using or utilizing that gift in a proper biblical way. And usually all those rules are out the window. But also, the gift of tongues was never angel language. And you can come up with, I didn't mean to get on this little rabbit trail, but we're probably going to end up here again. I think it's important. Justin Peters does a lot of great work on charismatic faith and New Age word of faith stuff, where you see these, multimillionaire preachers telling you to send them money and you'll have these supernatural powers, right? And he calls them out. But the gift of tongues is one of those things that is often used to fool people. And we just need to be careful. Yes, sir.
There is a real gift of tongues.
Yep. Sure. Yeah.
And God uses that to create interest. I mean, that's what Jesus did.
Yeah.
He did all kinds of miracles and things. But you have to make a distinction between a real miracle and the disguise put you on the floor.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think it's important, too, to recognize we know that God still heals today, so there are miracles today, and there are sometimes supernatural miracles that we can't really explain, even as fundamental independent Baptists, whoever we are. It's hard for us to sometimes break from tradition, but we know what happens. I read a book years ago. It was called Miracle in Voodoo Mountain, where a missionary left America, went to Haiti, fell in love with the people, decided to leave her job as a veterinarian and become a missionary, a teacher over there, and God miraculously gave her the gift of speaking the Haitian language. And she wrote a book about it. It's like, hey, this wasn't what I would have thought would have happened. This isn't, you know, I'm not making this up. This is what happened to me. She just tells her story, and she doesn't, you know, she doesn't blow it out of proportion in some way to teach anything. She's just saying, this is what happened to me. So is God able to do that? Yeah, he can heal. He can supernaturally involve himself and often does. But as a rule and in general, the way in which a lot of different groups practice what they call tongues, not only is it not biblical, but it can be demonic, at the very least deceptive. To Keith's point, not always. God can still supernaturally intercede and does. But the idea, and here's, I didn't grow up in this place, but I pastored in a place where there was a strong belief there that if you didn't speak in tongues, you weren't going to heaven. They associated those things together. And I met with one fellow so many times and tried to help him see from the Bible that salvation is not based on what you do or some gift, it's on Jesus. And he would always end the discussion with, well, I don't know, I just hope I can speak in tongues so I know for sure. It's like, well, do what I did. Fake it. Do what a lot of people do. Get excited about it and just do something with your lips and then call that the gift of tongues. You know, that's what happens in a lot of these cases. But this fella was adamant that if he didn't speak in tongues, he wasn't going to heaven. Yes, sir.
There's these churches that put on
yeah, that's right. That's right. It's not a gift. A supernatural gift is something that God does for you. In Acts chapter 2, that's what happened. They all were just had the ability to speak in different languages. You know, I'm going to Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek. Yes, sir. Right, yeah.
So he prayed his guts out and got him in Chinese without an accent.
Okay.
Wow. And he was there until the revolution, and one of his daughters was actually beheaded while they were leaving China.
Wow. Right. Well, we'll likely get into this again because I think it's, again, an important topic to understand. What was the gift of tongues originally and what has it become today? And what is the... Because we can, if we identify what the real gift of tongues is, well, then we can identify it whenever it happens. We're sometimes called this word, we're called cessationists. And a cessationist is someone that no longer believes in the supernatural outpouring of God's gifts, that those supernatural gifts don't exist anymore. And that's, in my mind, that's an unfair title. I do believe in the supernatural work of God. I don't believe that it is happening the same way that it did before, and that it's not necessary like it was before to happen in the same way. The church has been established and the Word of God has been written. And so those seasons have ceased in regards to those supernatural gifts. They can still happen. Miracles still happen and will. Revelation talks all kinds about different miracles and dreams and visions and things that are going to happen. But this season right now, we have the Word of God and the church is what God is using to be the lighthouse. And so tongues is an important topic. I think we should understand it and we'll likely talk a little bit more about it and the reason for it. Any other thoughts or comments, I guess, before we move on?
I got two verses. Mark 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak.
The Jewish nation. Yeah, they're referred to as sign gifts for a reason. And even in the book of Isaiah, you read about the jabbering languages of the Assyrians. It was a sign to the unbelieving Jews that their judgment has come, because they didn't understand the language of the Assyrians. And that same thread was reiterated, in chapter 2 of Acts, where there was these languages, and it was again a sign to the unbelieving Jews. They had rejected the Messiah, and yet they still had a hard time believing. Called them drunk, those disciples that day. Let's get back to 1 Corinthians 12. I want to read a little bit further here. It says in verse 4, "Now there are diversities of gifts." So what does that mean, first of all? Easy, maybe that's a simple question. Yeah, different kinds of gifts. We've talked about tongues here, and we'll get back to tongues again down the road. But there's other gifts that are misused. And we sometimes, at least I seem to focus on just one or two of them. But what are some of the other gifts, sign gifts, so the supernatural gifts, which would be interpretation, speaking in tongues, prophecy, healing, and miracles, would be the sign gifts, the supernatural gifts. Are there any of those other gifts that are misused today? Yeah, healing. Right? You ever wonder why all the faith healers don't leave their church and go to the hospitals where we could really use them? Come on out to our services. I don't care if they got to throw you in a truck and haul your body in, drag you up the stairs. You'll be healed. It's worth it. Okay, or just why don't you go to the hospital where they are? That'd be nice, yeah? I mean, we could use, if there was real faith healing, the way in which the world and some of these wolves, as far as I'm concerned, like to pretend there is, then they should be ashamed of themselves for not emptying out their bank accounts and helping other people. And healing, literally using that power to bring healing to other people. But it's very selective healing because it's orchestrated healing. Does that mean God doesn't heal? Oh, He heals. In His time, His way, and He gets the glory. Not some preacher. That's right, and not everyone. Not now, anyway. That's right, exactly. Jesus let Lazarus die. He got word 4 days in advance. Actually, he already knew. He didn't need to get word, but we understand. And then he waited 2 more days. And then he went. Mary runs out. Well, Lord, if you had been here. He said, nope, I know what I'm doing. It's for the glory of God. You've all seen me heal sick people. That doesn't impress you anymore. Watch me raise a dead guy who's been dead for 4 days. And so the Lord knows what He's doing, and He knows how to do these things, but we like to take the glory for ourselves and profit off it. Why not? God wants me to eat well, doesn't He? And so people misuse these gifts, like the gift of healing. Again, Justin Peters, if you don't know who he is, Google him up. He's got a lot of wonderful information, mostly videos. And he himself is paraplegic. And he himself went to these meetings trying to find help. And he was deceived and lied to. And the woman said after the first time they went, well, come back again. Bring your checkbook with you. And just got to give more, have more faith. And maybe then it'll make a difference. And that's usually the way in which they approach those things. And every once in a while, somebody will feign, oh, we've got a miracle. But if you follow that up, you realize it wasn't really a miracle. It wasn't really true. So unfortunately, these things are misused, these gifts. Prophecy, new revelation. Oh, God gave me a word of faith. He wants me to tell you this. This is what God said to me, a new revelation. You're going to be healed of your cancer, become a missionary, and travel the world and be a millionaire. You just trust it and believe it. Oh, I have to trust it and believe it for this to be true? Yes. If it doesn't come to pass, it was because you didn't have enough faith, not because I was wrong. And that's what they do. And they misuse these gifts. And they mar the name of God. And there will be many that will stand before Him someday and answer for doing that very thing. So just a couple of thoughts in regards to the gifts that we see misused. This is what Paul was talking about. Not just tongues, but all the different gifts. Misused for either nefarious or just out of ignorance, as was the case here. Some of them were ignorant to what they were doing. So again, verse 4 says, now there are diversities of gifts, different gifts, but the same Spirit. So we have different gifts, all kinds of gifts. We'll get to that. But it's the same Spirit of God that delivers unto us those gifts. They don't come from us. This is the point. Who gives us the gifts? The Spirit of God. The gifts come from God. James 1:17, He is the giver of good gifts, the Father of lights. And so it's important to note that. Our gifts can't be orchestrated. Like my friend Bud that said, you know, if I pray hard enough, if I try hard enough, then I'll just get the gift. No. You have to, a gift is something that you were given. If you don't have it, it's because you weren't given the gift. And is God a respecter of persons, church? Does God favor me over you? No, I hope not. God says, I'm not a respecter of persons. I'm not going to give someone a super special gift while this Christian over here is begging and pleading for some kind of gift, for some kind of hope, for some kind of help. And I just say, nah, what you got is enough. God doesn't respect in that way. He doesn't say, I'm going to give you the good gifts and you're going to get the little small gifts down here, right? The rich kids shop at Sears and the poor kids go to the dollar store. That's not God. And that's not how it works. And sometimes we're misled. Different gifts, same Spirit. They all come from God. And that gives us encouragement to know that whatever gift we have is a gift that was given to us from God, whatever that is. Keith. Amen. Amen. Again, it's designed by God, so it has those kinds of characteristics, those qualities. Amen. Well said. Well, we have different gifts, same Spirit. Verse 5, it says we have different administrations, but the same Lord. So in terms of our gifts, we each have different gifts that the Spirit of God has doled out to all of us. You've all heard that, you know, on the day that God was giving out brains, there was a big lineup, and I missed that day, right? Well, I don't know why that image comes to my mind. We're all kind of lined up here, and the Holy Spirit's given us gifts. And once we're born again, right, on our birthday, our born-again birthday, God said, here's your gifts. Happy birthday. I want you to use them to bring glory to my name. They'll be a blessing to you and a blessing to others. And so it's these gifts that we're learning about that God wants us to use. But the administrations, different gifts, same Spirit, different administrations. The word there, you could use ministries. The different ministries that our gifts can be utilized in. For example, Paul used some of his gifts on the mission field. Some of his gifts he used in Bible study in homes. Some of them he used in church environments and settings with the leadership and the whole thing. He used his gifts in prisons, in courthouses, and on boats. He utilized his gifts wherever he was. Different ministries, but same gifts. And so likewise, my gifts might mean that I can, you know, be a pastor. Your gifts might mean you can be an evangelist or a Sunday school teacher or any number of other things. So we have different gifts for different ministries, different occupations within the body of Christ. And you'll notice that. Some of you are really good at doing certain things. And it's good to stay in our lane. If I'm not good at doing something, I shouldn't do it. I should do what I'm good at. And so that's why it's good to identify our gifts and to understand what they are so that we capitalize on our gifts. It also says different administrations, so different ministries, but the same Lord. Okay, so again, it's God that gives us these gifts. So when I look at a missionary and I say, oh, you shouldn't be on a mission field, you should be in the church. No, we have different ministries, but the same Lord is overseeing these different ministries and the different gifts that are used in these different ministries. So that's why it's important to recognize there are different ministries or different administrations. Verse 6, and there are diversities, again, different operations. It's a little bit different. The word operations here means sort of the activities or the applications of those ministries. So on Tuesday night, there is a different administration. It's called ball hockey, and we administer our gifts in different ways there at that ball hockey. Maybe the word has to be shared in season, out of season, as Robert had to do last week. No time to prep. Can you share the word tonight? Sure. So the gift was utilized, right? Just as an example. So the administration of that gift was in a different ministry, but it was still utilized nonetheless. So different operations, different applications of our gift. Sometimes it's at a ladies' tea. Sometimes it's in vacation Bible school. Sometimes it's in Sunday school. Could be in the sound room, could be at the piano, could be in the choir, could be in the pew, could be on the phone, could be at your kitchen table, could be when you go to the hospital, could be at the grocery store when you smile or you say bless you to someone. It's many different ways that we use our gifts, many different places, many different ministries. And I love that. God allows us across the board to use our gifts to the best of our ability in every way, and not just one specific place only, but in many different places. Anybody have any thoughts on any of those things? Right, yeah, that's right. It is a snare. It would be the same as if I gave you a gift and said, this gift is going to make your day the best day you've ever had. And then all day you kept having terrible experiences. And at the end of the day, you threw that gift out. You despised that gift. You said, this did the opposite of what you told me it was going to do. So people receive what they think are gifts from God, but they're ignorant about what the gifts really are. The devil has got a toehold in. They're deceived. The gifts don't work the way they think they're supposed to. And now they're in doubt. They're frustrated, or they throw Christianity away and say, well, it doesn't work. I prayed and I didn't get healing. And it's important that we understand not only what the gifts are and how to utilize them, but what God's word says about gifts, about truth, doctrine, all these things. You know, if you tell somebody, you come to faith, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you will only always have peace and joy. God will take care of all your problems, and there'll be no more misery, and He'll answer all your prayers, and life will be peachy keen. That's a lie. That is not true. Anybody have that kind of a Christian life right now? I hope you do once in a while. But no, we maintain our joy in the midst of the chaos. And so the reason why some people throw away that Christianity or from following that faith anymore is because they've been deceived about the truth or deceived about the gifts. One fellow I know was told by another person that they had the gift of prophecy. And they told this person that their wife would be healed of her cancer, that they saw these two people serving together, sharing their testimony in churches, and God was going to give them, I forget, a certain number of years, many more years yet to live together, and that this season was soon going to change. And he held on to that because this was a brand new Christian who still was learning and was being inundated with different beliefs, and some were not true. And as he carried his wife to the hospital, he held on to that. And as he stood by her bedside as she lay gasping, he held on to that. And he prayed according to his faith as best he could that that would be the case. And then when she died, he was absolutely devastated. Because what more can a human do than trust as much as you can trust? There's no gauge on my arm that tells me if I'm getting up there to the right limit. You know, you just do what you can do. And it's not us, it's God that does the work. And he was told that day, because he was so angry, someone looked at him, the same person looked at him and said, it's because you didn't have enough faith. Lost his wife, and that was what he was told. I'll tell you, the devil was doing everything he could that day to keep that man from walking anymore with the Lord. And I thought for sure that he might have accomplished his goal. But God is gracious, and that man still walks with the Lord today. And I praise God for that. But just to your point, Keith, it's the reason why we have to be so careful. It's a big issue, and sometimes we kind of think, well, different denominations think different things. No, the Bible teaches one truth about all of these things, and we need to make sure we know what that truth is. So, yeah. That's right. Which is, again, not biblical. It's not, the Bible doesn't say if you take medicine, you don't have enough faith. Any more than it says, go ahead and play with poisonous snakes, you'll be fine, right? There's some of these, that was a sign gift, by the way. Drink poison, you won't die. Get bit by poisonous snakes, you'll be fine. Go try it. Yeah, why not? Because you know those were sign gifts specific to the early church disciples so that that church could be established. Well, and I've watched some of those guys, snake handlers, and off they go to the hospital, and they still, oh no, God wanted to grow my faith. Well, thank the snake.
You got the serum in your lips, so I have
to. Right, right. And I don't like to make fun, because it's not about that. I'm not making fun. It's just, some of these things are a little bit silly. And that's why Paul said, look, I don't want you to be ignorant. You could get led astray with all these strange doctrines and beliefs, and you got to be careful to understand the truth, because it can be easy for us to be led astray, and we need to know the Word of God. And it's sometimes hard to really understand, well, what does it mean that God will hear my prayers if He doesn't answer them right away the way that I think? Does He hear my prayers? And so there's the reality of what that means. There's God's timing. There's God's perfect will. And when we understand that, then we can understand, okay, God does hear my prayers, but He doesn't give me what I want when I want it. There's a difference. So the proper understanding of the Word of God and of the gifts of God really helps. And anyway, so all kinds of things, and we'll be at this probably a little longer than maybe I was thinking, but I'm excited. I hope it's encouraging. I hope it's interesting, and sounds like it's something that we can learn a little bit from and remind ourselves of some things, and so I hope it's a blessing to you. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And we certainly don't want to miss out on a blessing. What a shame as your children to live life and miss out on being able to utilize some power from on high, some supernatural gift that you've just freely given to us. Lord, that would be a shame to let it lie dormant within our lives, ignorant of it, unwilling to use it, or unaware that it's even there. So we don't want that. And Lord, I pray that every one of us, as we take a look at this series, we would grow in our understanding of what is my supernatural gift, what is my gifts, and Lord, how valuable are they, and how can I use them better for your glory? At the same time, Father, we don't want to be led astray, and sometimes it can be confusing. There's a lot of different ideas and thoughts out there. And so, Lord, help us to understand what your word says. And Lord, with every gift, we know that there is potential for the enemy to use it, as He uses many good things to lead us away from you. So keep us safe. Thank you for each one here today. Thank you for your word. We ask your blessing as we go to worship now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, church.